Okay. I think we can start.
I want to thank everybody for coming. There are a couple people I didn't greet personally as you walked in. Steve, thank you so much. You came from far away. I think the snow prevented a lot of people from coming. And we're here to observe the yahrzeit of my father-in-law, Rav Yaakov ben Chaim Yosef. This is the first of two yahrzeits because Adar is a leap. It's a leap year. We have two Adars. And in the discussion with Rabbi Wasserman years ago, I remember he told us to observe both. I have to review the details with him why, but that's another story. We also want to mark another loss that we had in the family. Our uncle and Mrs. Benjamini's brother-in-law, Pinchas Ben Menachem Ben Sion, Uncle Menachem Ben Sion, beloved Uncle Phil, who was very active in Jewish education all of his life. And a couple of things I just discovered. I met Rabbi Klapperman I went to my mother's, and Rabbi Klapperman of Beth Shalom, Long Island, lives around the corner. He's Rabbi Emeritus now. He really spends a lot of time in Brooklyn. But I met him in front of, he was taking a walk with his wife, and he went to school with my Uncle Phil. He was in YU with him in the 1940s. So Uncle Phil never told me this, and you know, you discover things about people later on, and you don't know what to ask them while they're alive, while they're here with us. And it's a thing we should remember to which is the theme tonight, to appreciate everyone else around us, who at least everyone who has goodwill around us as much as we possibly can. This is a subject I've been thinking about for over a year. It's changed me, but don't ask Shuli. Got to promise that. I must tell you the truth. I hesitated many times during this year. I was planning it, and I kept accumulating pieces of the puzzle. And then I say, no, I can't do this because I don't know if I could live in the house afterwards. So I'm going to talk about something that I have not necessarily achieved, so I don't want to give you that impression, but rather, I'm working. This is where I'm going, and if it helps you, come with me. What I want to say is that Torah is a living, breathing thing. I have a friend in the stock market, and he was like one of my mentors. And he always emphasized to me that the lahavdil, but the stock market is a living, breathing thing. It changes all the time. If you come into it with a mental set, and you think that's the way it's got to be, and you're not prepared to change your mind when you have good reason to change your mind, then you're going to go out of business very soon. Lahavdil, but the Torah also is a living, breathing thing, and it changes all the time. I think it changes as we do it. It changes, and it presumably, hopefully, it should change us. I'm sure by next week that this talk will be different. And we don't always know where we're going. And we have to be ready and receptive to what we find, and be maybe even willing to accept it and to change ourselves. In line with this, I'm going to say something. I know already somebody in the group disagrees with me. I'm just going to ask you not to interrupt till I finish the entire talk, because unless there's something you absolutely don't understand, and then please stop me. But I'd like to finish the argument. I think it all fits together. But it would be improper to omit the mention of the great tragedy that fell the Jewish people this week. As you know, two helicopters went down in Israel, in a place in way in the north, at a place called Sha'ar Yashuv. I had very little time to pay attention to it. I saw the headlines. Without knowing anything about it, I said, something's wrong. Two Israeli helicopters collided. and we're going to say it was by mikra, it was just an accident, and there are all sorts of arguments in the newspapers about it. Nevertheless, I heard from my Aunt Pauline, who was the one who lost Uncle Phil and just got up from Shiva this week. Her son went back to Israel. Her son lives in
El Azar,
which is where in Gush Etzion. And he called her and told her that Thursday was a fast day in Israel, at least for those who followed the Rabbanut HaRashit. And then she told me about, I presume that the Rabbanut or the chief rabbi pointed this out, who, whatever the source is, it's just can't go unmentioned. As I told you, where the helicopters crashed in Sha'ar Yashuv. In the Haftarah of last week, the Haftarah following Parsha Yitro, Sha'ar Yashuv is mentioned. And in that Haftarah, it also has the phrase Shnei Zanvot Ha'udim Ha'ashenim, two tails that are firebrands that are smoking. I'm not going to read a lesson into this. I mean, I'm not qualified to give further commentary, but simply to note that this has happened. I will say to you that I believe very fervently that that God still speaks to the Jewish people in different ways. Sometimes it's hard to figure out what he's saying. Sometimes it's hard to know when he's talking. But if you believe that the Torah is a breathing, living thing growing with the Jewish people, then you, at least you have to take note. And strangely enough, and this is from me, but I found it in today's Haftarah. It was not planned to say tonight, except as I saw it this morning. And he says, "V'et kol ela yadai asta." All of this I have done. Take it as you will. I will refer once more to today's Haftorah at the end. Most everything that I prepared is in the book. This is not, so that's why I have it out. But it should be noted with great sadness and great seriousness. In line with this, I want to thank Rabbi Love for well over a year or two ago pointing out to me in Sefer Tehillim, the first Tehillah, Ki Im B'Torat Hashem Chefzo, that he delights in the Torah of Hashem, U'B'Torato Yege Yomam V'Laila, and in his Torah he will dwell day and night. And Rashi says about that, "B'Tehillah he nikrei Torat Hashem." In the beginning, it's called the Torah of Hashem. U'misha amalba, when somebody works with Torah, he nikrei Torato. It becomes his Torah. And I had said a number of times to Rabbi Love, you know, how come you're coming to my shiurim? But I invited him because I didn't want to be discourteous. But I was afraid, you know. I mean, and he said because it's Torah and I can learn from it. And then when he pointed out this phrase in this Rashi, which I just recently looked up, it made me understand, yes, it's my Torah, and it's special to me, and I am delighted that you've come to share it with me. So we begin now. Shia Shirem, Simeni Kachotam Alibecha, set me as a seal upon your heart, Kechotam al zeroecha, as a seal upon thine arm, ki aza kamavat ahava, because love is as strong as death, kasha kishaol, it's as hard as the grave, kasha kishaol kina, jealousy is as hard as the grave, rishafeha rishpe esh shalhevet ya, a very flame of the Lord. So, Rashi here says, "Simeni kachotam, set me as a seal on your heart, b'shvil ota ahava, because of that love, to chatmeni, seal me, ali becha, on your heart, shlo tishkacheni, that you should not forget me, v'tireh, and see, ki azaka mavet ahava, that love is as strong as your heart, ha'ava, kenegan mitatisha ani neheragti alecha. It is that love which I have for you that I am dying every day. In my own paraphrase, I wasn't going to read Rashi to you, but for that great love which you showed to the Jewish people, for it was under Har Sinai that you woke us up, and there, in effect, we were fashioned anew. So for that love which you have shown us, seal us on your heart, so that you don't forget us, and see that love is stronger than death, for we, the Jewish people, constantly die for you. What am I talking about? Think of a locket that a girl would wear around her neck, certainly in the 19th century. You open it up, and you have a picture of the beloved. So think of a locket that a girl wears around her neck with a picture of the beloved enclosed. Why? Because so that she can remember the beloved. So the same thing here, simeni kachotam al ibecha, the Jewish people are saying to Hashem, seal me, set me as a seal on your heart, kachotam al zeroecha, as a seal upon your arm. And the question is, Hashem has a heart and an arm, and can we even talk this way in terms of anthropomorphism about Hashem? And what does it mean that Hashem's going to set us as a seal upon his heart and his arm? Of course, you know that the tefillin go, well, I put it here, but it goes here, and it goes against the heart, and it's on the arm. So, in Masechta Brachos, Amar Rabbi Avin Bar Rav Ada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Minayin Shehakadosh Baruch Hu Maniach Tefillin. From where do we know that Hashem Himself puts on tefillin? Shenemaz, it says, Nishpa Hashem b'yimino uzroa uzo, and they take a pasuk that Hashem swears by His right hand, Uvizroa uzo, and his strong hand, this hand that is more powerful, b'yimino. So the first phrase, yimino, zu Torah. And then, b'zroa uzo, elu tefillin, shenemah, as it says, Hashem oz v'yemo yiteng. So we've established, according to Chazal, that Hashem wears tefillin. And then at Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, the Rav Chia Ba'avin, he asks, Hani tefillin demarei alma, these tefillin that Hashem wears, makti bahu, what's written on them? It's got tefillin, and we got to follow it out, what's written on it? Amalei, and he gives the answer, mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz, who is like unto you, Israel, a unique nation in the world. So I ask, what is unique about Am Yisrael? And again, we have in the Gemara, in Yevamot, David HaMelech says, Shlosha simanim yesh b'umazu. This nation has three distinctive characteristics. Harachamanim, they are with rachamim, with mercy. V'baishanim, they are modest, not shy. They are modest in their dress and in their conduct with each other. V'gomlei chasidim, and they do good. They perform acts of chesed, which are distinctive in the world. These lines of the Gemara require a shiur in and of themselves. They probably require many shiurim and are probably deserving of long tractates. But my purpose tonight is to go one step beyond these three unique aspects of Am Yisrael. The philosopher in me wants to ask an almost unthinkable question.
as you will see, I have good precedent both in the Torah itself and in the Chazal to ask the question. I want to stress that philosophy, in many of its traditional forms, as well as in the 20th century, is the explanation of the obvious. Why do I need to explain the obvious? Because when ways of doing things are so common, people take them for granted and don't think about them. We have to take the familiar and render it unfamiliar in order to examine its true nature. Wittgenstein spoke in this vein when he used the phrase, a sense of the queer. We have to develop a sense of the queer. We must take the familiar and render it unfamiliar. So the unthinkable question is, when someone does a kindness, an act of chesed, why do we have to say thank you? Or ask it another way, can we eliminate the words thank you from the English language or from any language? What I'm really asking is if we can eliminate reciprocation and gratitude. Now, Mrs. Benjamini, my mother-in-law, makes the best apple cake in the United States. We will prove that in a little while. If you haven't tasted it before, and many of you have. But nevertheless, Bela was eating apple cake today, and my mother-in-law said, Bela, how's the apple cake? And she obviously wanted a response, and Bela said it was good, very good. But we know that her apple cake is terrific. I just don't say it every day. And when I have it and she's not here, I don't call her up and say, hey, Mom, you know, what great cake. Once I did it. I did it once. But generally, you know. And why did she need to do that? She knows it's the best apple cake around. But she needed a response. She needed Baylor to say, it's great. So there are people who ask this question, why do we have to say thank you? And they ask it very seriously. And the words seem to make sense. But when you ask this question and you mean it, you are automatically outside of the system. At least you're outside of the system of Torah. So I asked a number of people, actually this year, and not one of them gave me the correct answer. I asked each of them, what is the major treatise on Hakarat HaTov? And no one gave me the answer, but I kept coming up against it by accident from my footnotes, because one thing led to another. Happens to be Chovavot HaLevavot. So all I'm doing is giving you a preface to Chovavot HaLevavot. You can go and study it. But he says there, we assert as a truth generally recognized. I'm reading the English. It was translated from the Arabic. We don't need to do it in Hebrew. We assert as a truth generally recognized that if anyone benefits us, we are under an obligation of gratitude to him in accordance with his intent to help us. And actually, I think the Torah may even take issue with that last statement, according to his intent to help us, as we will see. But basically he's saying, you can't ask the question, why do I have to reciprocate? It's an unaskable question. In Hebrew, also we call this concept Hakarat HaTov, reciprocation. It's an overworked and overused concept, but it's well deserving of its overuse because how it pervades all of Torah, as I hope to demonstrate. First, an observation. Go and study the entire enumeration of the mitzvah deraita, whether you use the Rambam's list or the Ramban's list, and I don't think you'll find any mitzvah called Hakarat HaTov. But for those of you who know word perfect, it's sort of like reveal codes. Hakarat HaTov is really ubiquitous. It's just everywhere. And as we'll see, it's the basis for everything. And I say that without qualification. It sounds vague and overdrawn, but I think it's there everywhere. So let's study three mitzvot deraita. First of all, in Ki Teitze and Sefer Devarim, Lo tata'ev mitzri, don't abhor the Egyptian, Ki ger hayita ba'atzo, because you were a stranger in his land. Banim asher yivaldu lehem, dor shlishi, when they have sons, and they go to the third generation, yavo lehem bekal Hashem. Only then can you let them in to be gerem, to convert to Judaism. Until then, they can't. But we'll let them come in the third generation. So what are we saying? Torah is saying, these guys who put you into slavery, and they made you suffer for a good 80 years, almost like actually Russia, I think, was, if you go back to the 1600s, or I guess it's 300-400 years in Russia. It's 70 years since Stalin or since Lenin came in, but it really goes way back. But in Egypt, I believe the number was about 80 years. 180. Rabbi Love says 180. We'll take that number. But what did you do to us? You enslaved us. You tried to kill our children. You did all sorts of unspeakable horrors that are probably in the Midrashim. I haven't looked for them, so I haven't found them. But certainly from what we know of the experience with Nazi Germany and with the Russians, you can imagine what the Egyptians did to us. And nevertheless, the Torah says, don't abhor the Egyptian. This is a mitzvah deraisa. Why? Because you were a stranger in his land. You came in with Yaakov Avinu and under Yosef, and they provided for you, and they gave you the best real estate in Goshen, and you built houses, and you built schools, and you were able to survive a famine in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, because of that kindness that they showed you, we are going to allow them to become Jews in the third generation. The details of the mitzvah, I'm not going to go into, but just to note that the Chinuch says, V'yafal pi shebitzrayim shibdu banu, but si arunu zman rav, even though Mitzrayim enslaved us and caused us much suffering, lo nitrachaknu mehem, we don't have to stay away from them, ki im dor shlishi, except for three generations. After three generations, they can become Jewish. It's a gevaldige mitzvah, which I never paid attention to until this year. And many times the Torah and in the Gemara, both the Torah and Chazal in the Gemara appeal to extremes in their explanations. The Torah appeals to extremes to define an idea, to set its limits and boundaries, and at the same time to show just how far-reaching and extensive that concept can be. And I believe that Lo Tata'ev et HaMitzri is one of those. For if I must give Hakarat HaTov to a Mitzri, then how much more so to a friend, even a casual friend, who at some time or other did me some special favor. And if to my friend, all right, how much more so to my wife and to my mother-in-law. But, the interesting question, which I will not deal with here, I've spoken with Rabbi Wasserman about it a few times, and we weren't sure, is how do you categorize the Germans of today? Are they in the category of Mitzrim, Egyptians, or are they in the category of Amalek? And I'm not going to deal with it because we'll get sidetracked. Second mitzvah, L'chabed ha'av ha'em, Kibud av ha'em, Shenema, as it says, and I'm reading the Sefer Chinuch, Kabed et avicha ve'et imecha, you should honor your father and your mother, as it says. And then the Chinuch goes on to say, what is the nature of this kibud? Ezehu kibud. It's ma'akil u'mashke. You have to feed them and give them drink. Malt bish u'machaseh. You have to give them clothing and covering. Machnis u'motzi. That they can come in and go out. And then the Chinuch goes on. Mishoshei mitzvah. By the roots of this mitzvah has to do she'ru'i lo la'adam she'akir v'yigmol chesed l'misha asa'imo, that it's proper for a man to give to give recognition to somebody who does chesed, does him a kindness. V'lo yeh naval, naval umitnaker ukafui tova. Very important words of the chinuch. You must look at them inside when you have time. That he should not be a naval, a scoundrel, a rascal, a lowlife, umitnaker, and a, I don't know, how do you translate umitnaker?
Strange.
What?
Make yourself stranger.
To make yourself a stranger, and estrange yourself from somebody who's done you a favor. Ukafui tova, you should not cover up good. A very important phrase. Rabbi J. Miller pointed out to me that Hakarat HaTov, he couldn't find that phrase. Maybe it goes back 100 years. He looked it up in the dictionary, in the 7-volume dictionary, but he couldn't find reference to it in Chazal. But Kafui Tova is in the Gemara. And the Chinuch is saying, don't be a Kafui Tova, don't cover up good. Shezu Mida Ra'a Umu'usa, because this is an awful Mida, it's a terrible trait, Umu'usa, and ugly. B'tachlit lifnei Elohim ba'anashim. It's an ugly characteristic both in relationship to God and to men. B'shitein elibo, and he should set his heart, ki ha'av ha'aim, that his parents, hem sibate yotova olam. They're why he is in the world. V'alkein, and therefore ba'emet, ra'ui lo la'asot lehem kol kavod b'kol to'elet shiuchal. He should do anything he can for them, because they are his reason for being. Ki hem haviyuhu li'olam, they brought him into the world. Gam yag'ubo kama yigi'ot b'katnuto. Since he was little, they labored over him, and therefore he has an obligation to give them recognition. And then he goes on, v'shiyigbezo tamida b'nafsho, when you set this mida of a karat ha'tov for your parents in your heart, ya'ale mimenu lahakia tovat ha'el baruchu. Then he will, from this will emanate recognition of the goodness that God himself has done for you. Shehu sibato v'sibat kol avotav, because God is the reason for everything, for you and for your fathers, ad Adam HaRishon, until going back to the first man, Adam HaRishon. V'shehu tzi la'avir ha'olam, he brought you out into the light of the world, v'sipeit tzarko, Kol Yamav, he provided for your needs all of your days. V'amidu al mechu matkunto, he set you up in your situation. Ushleimut evarav, and he gave you, hopefully for all of us, a complete and healthy bodies. V'natan bo nefesh yodat umaskelet, he gave you a nefesh, a soul to that could understand and perceive things. She'ilulei ha'nefesh she'chananu ha'el yiyeh kesusuf v'pered ein havin. If it wasn't for this nefesh that Hashem gave us, we'd be like horses or donkeys. We wouldn't understand. V'yaroch b'machshavto kama v'kama ra'ui lo lehizaher b'avodato baruch hu. And as a result of this recognition of hakarat ha'tov for God, then you'll start becoming careful in how you, in your observance and worship of Hashem. Mitzvah number 3, the mitzvah of Bikurim. You come to Eretz Yisrael and you prosper. You have everything you want. Hashem gave you everything. How do you reciprocate? How can you give anything back to Hashem? What does he possibly need from you? So we have in Sefer Devarim, Ki Tavo, Bahaya Ki Tavo, El Haaretz, when you come into the land of Israel. And it says that there, when God has given you everything that you want, that you'll, you can read it yourself and say for Devarim, I don't want to labor you too much, but you'll take around Shavuos time, if I'm not mistaken, the first fruits of your harvest, and you'll bring them to Yerushalayim. I guess this is what, Maaseh Sheni? No?
Bikurim.
Oh, it's called Bikurim specifically. And you'll put them in a basket and bring them to the Kohen there. And when you bring them to the Kohen, you're gonna actually say a formula. There are words that you say, V'anita v'yamata lefnei Hashem Elokecha. When you're standing in front of God and in front of the Kohen, you're gonna say words. And this is the mitzvah of Bikurim, Arami Oved Avi V'Yared Mitzrayma. That my father was an Aramean, and he lived, obviously we're talking about Yaakov Avinu, who lived with Lavan, and he went down to Egypt, Yagasham, Bemetei Ma'at, and he lived there for
with a few people.
Oh, with a few people. And he give, and you're going to give a formula here, which is the entire history of the Jewish people through the period of Egypt. The Chinuch says, Mishroshei HaMitzvah, from the meaning or the root of this mitzvah, Lefisha Adam Oreh Machshavotav, a man should awaken in his thoughts, Umetzayer Bilvavo, and fashion in his heart, HaEmet, the truth, B'Kalach Divrei Piv, and he should do this with the strength of his mouth, with the words of his mouth. Al Kain, and therefore Behetiv Elav Hashem, in order to have Hashem for the good that Hashem has done for him, Uvachu Oto, and the blessings which he has received, yet Admatola Asot Peirot, and the land which gave fruit, Vezachal Haviyam Levet Elokeinu, and he was worthy of bringing them to the house of our God. Ra'ui Lola Orea Libo B'Divrei Pihu, it is proper for him to awaken in his heart with the words of his mouth, v'lachshov, and they should think, ki hakol higia elav, that everything has come to him, me'et adon ha'olam, from God, v'saper chasadav, and he should explain, he should tell the mercies that God, the chesed, the kindness that Hashem has done, yitbarach aleinu v'alkol am Yisrael derech klal, on the mercies that he has received from Hashem, and which all of Israel has also received from Hashem. V'al kein, and therefore matchil b'inyan Yaakov Avinu. Therefore, he should begin with the history of Yaakov Avinu shechiltzu ha'el miyad Lavan shechiltzu. It looks like a ches that Hashem saved Yaakov from Lavan v'inyan avodat ha'mitzriim banu. And also the matter of the episode of our slavery in Egypt, v'hitzilanu hu baruch hu miadam, and how Hashem saved us from the slavery in Egypt. V'acha ha'shevach, and after this praise, mivakesh milfanav, he should request from him, lahatmid habracha alav, that this bracha that we are at that point receiving from Hashem should be continual, and it should not be just transient. When we talk to Orut Nafsho, and because of the stirring up of his soul, B'Shevach, with praise Hashem, B'Shevach Hashem Uvtuvo, with praise of Hashem and his goodness, Zocher Umit Barechet, then he should be worthy and blessed. Al Kain, and therefore, Sivanu Baruch Hu Al Zeh, God has commanded us for this mitzvah of Bikurim, Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu, because Hashem delights in doing goodness to us. All right, three mitzvahs of the Torah, where the ta'am ha-mitzvah, the meaning of the mitzvah is to do hakarat ha-tov. The first mitzvah is lo tata'ev et ha-mitzri, and you can't understand it without the concept of hakarat ha-tov. And it's explicitly mentioned in the Torah because they took you in and you were able to live there. Mitzvah number two, honoring your father and mother, clearly a section of the sugya of Hakarat HaTov, a major section of Hakarat HaTov is Kibud Av Ve'Em, honoring your parents, and finally the mitzvah of Bikurim. One incident in the life of one particular Amora, Rabbi Chia, it's in Yevamos, Havakor Mitzara Le Devetu. His wife caused him, not my wife, his wife caused him a lot of trouble. Okay? They don't specify what it is. There was also an incident here about Rav and his wife, but we won't bring that up right now. But Rabbi Chia, his wife caused him trouble, whatever it is, whatever you can imagine. Ki heva mashkach midei, but whenever he, Rabbi Chia, found something, sayer le besudre umayte nihala. When he found something, maybe a trinket or an amulet, a bracelet, or maybe a nice piece of fruit in the supermarket, whenever he found something for her, he would wrap it up in a kerchief, a cloth, and bring it to her as a gift. Amale Rav, so Rav, his student and his nephew, said to him, V'hokom etza'ara le'ilamar? Doesn't she cause you such suffering? I mean, why are you bothering to do this kindness for her? Amale, so Rabbi Chia says, Dainu shemagadlo t'banenu, it's enough that she brought up my children, umatzilot otanu min hachet, that she kept me from sin, meaningly she was my partner in life, and she took care of me and of my children, and I owe it to her. And don't ask me any more questions. And that was Rabbi Chia. The greatness of the man. Probably be very hard for our generation to understand Rabbi Chia. You look around and you see people. I hear stories. Somebody said to me just the other day, well, how do you know if you're going to love your wife if you marry her? How do you know in 5 years if you're still going to be loving her? And they're coming from such a different point of view than Chazal. For Rabbi Chia, that wasn't the question. He was working on a different set of principles. And I think if most of us understood these, look, it took me, 54 years that I finally started to understand this. Thank God. We're coming into the 25th year. I understand people have been hinting to me it's a special year, we have to do something. But thank God I made it through. We made it through. But it took this long to understand the full extent of a Karat HaTov. Imagine if you could understand it as you were going into a marriage, how that might affect your day-to-day dealings with your spouse and the things we say to them, and maybe learning to check ourselves and watch what we say, remembering that somebody wants to hear a good thing about the apple cake. She knows it's the best cake in New Jersey. I mean, there's no question about it, but she's got to hear.
It was the whole world. Now it's the whole world.
All right. Okay, in the world. Yes, there's no question about that. When they hear this in Eretz Yisrael, we'll have to bake, we'll have to get some cake over back to Chaim and Moshe.
Shlomi is leaving on the 23rd.
So the question is whether customs will let it in or whether they'll consume it there at the checkout counter. In any event, to understand, it's important to understand Rabbi Chia's lack of self-centeredness. He overrode his own self-interest to reciprocate and pay a debt. The criterion here was not happiness or self-fulfillment. The criterion was, how do I fulfill my obligation to this woman in this particular regard? Finally, in answer to our philosopher's question, and in answer to what some may call my dumbbell question, why must we reciprocate? Why must we give Hakarat HaTov? I'm doing pretty good here. I want to conclude with the words of Harav Yeruchim Levavitz, did I say that right? The Mashkiach Chatmir before the World War II. Very well known Rav. I'm going to labor you and read most of what he says and translate it. I was thinking of summarizing it. I didn't have time to do it in English. But it's so to the point, and it brings everything we've said together. I think you'll find it well worthwhile. You'll probably want copies of this. I can make them on request. Rabbi Wasserman found this piece for me, so give him the credit. And it only fell into place after I put everything else together. And then I read this and understood it. Before I read it, but couldn't quite catch it. So he says, Ta'utu, b'mi shechoshev shetachlit yitziat Mitzrayim hu shetetzei mizeh emuna levad. If you think that going out of Egypt, the purpose of going out of Egypt was just to give us emuna, it's impossible. The Eif Shah, it's impossible. V'lo nitan le'mor kein, shouldn't say that. The tachlit ha'devarim eino shetomru hanisim. The purpose of these things is not that you should shita'amtu, that you should believe in the nisim. Shetachlit ha'emuna hu gam kein shemizet teitzei av. The idea here is, if you think it's just that, we came out of Egypt and Hashem performed Nisim for us, and we have to have emuna that these things happened, And that's the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim. If that's what you think, he says, you've got it all wrong. Inyan Yetziat Mitzrayim, hu liyot lechem lelokim, quoting the Torah. It's the purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim is that God should be to you a God, v'liyot lo la'am nachala, to be, and that you should be a nation, how do you translate it? His inheritance, a nation that belongs to Hashem. Thank you. Shi'etsu mirshuto shel paro. You came out of the rushut, the domain of paro. V'nifnasu l'rushuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You came in that Hashem's rushut. You didn't go into a hefka situation where you were, you just were totally free. Don't we say that that Pesach is only completed in Shavuot, at Matan Torah? So it wasn't just freedom for freedom's sake, which is maybe the problem that the Americans have. It was freedom to get the Torah at Shavuot's time. So you can't have Pesach without the concluding part, which is Shavuot. Shezu tachlit yetziat Mitzrayim. The purpose of Yetziat Mitzrayim is Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotseiticha Meretz Mitzrayim. I took you out of Egypt. That's why you have to believe in Ani Hashem Elokecha. That means, you took me out of Egypt, I have to reciprocate. You did that for me, what do I do for you? Rashi, Kedei hi hotza'ah shetiyu mishubadim li. This hotza'ah, this leaving of Egypt, is so that you, the Jews, should be mishubadim li. We'll translate it in English.
Indentured.
I don't... What?
Indentured.
Indentured? Enslaved? To Hashem. Shezeh shemakirim shehabore yitbarech hu tov bilti tachli. Indebted. Indebted to Hashem. And that you should recognize,
No, it's indebtedness.
Well, we'll continue the translation over a glass of schnapps. But that you should recognize Hashem's good, bilti tachlit, His good, which is without end. Mechayev shiyu makirim tova. You are mechuyev. You are obligated to recognize good, lebaal hatova, to He who gives good. Liot lo la'avadim, to be indebted to him. Umavaeh midvarav she'inyan yetziat Mitzrayim hu kabbalat malchut shemayim. So inyat the sugya of yetziat Mitzrayim, of leaving Egypt, is kabbalat malchut shemayim, accepting the yoke of heaven. Shehu inyan liot lo la'avadim, because this is what it means to be indebted to Hashem. Shekevan shemakirim tavo b'chasto habilti. Gavul, to recognize his kindness, which has no bounds, v'tachlit shel Hashem yitbarach shehu shalit v'adon kol, and that Hashem is the ruler of the entire universe. Mechayev zeh shetetzei mizeh avdut. You get indebtedness out of this formula. Ki eved v'adon hem misha'er hamitztaref, because a servant and a master. Hem Misha'er Hamitztaref. I need help. They are, they share a commonality. Ukadai hi ho hotza'asha tiyu mishubadim li. And because of Yetziat Mitzrayim, that's what Rashi said, I think, you have to be indebted to me. Shemeha hotza'ah sarich letzet hakarat hatov. From this leaving of Egypt, you have to have hakarat hatov. V'habe'ur. Now here's, listen to these words. Habe'ur. We're almost finished. Be calm. Habe'ur ha'amiti shel hakarat hatov. The correct explanation of hakarat hatov, says Rav Lvovitz, is hu ivdut v'hish. It's indebtedness or being enslaved, v'hish ta'abdut leva'al hatova. You are indebted to the person who has done good to you. It's a dynamic, earth-shaking statement. When I finally understood it, I questioned Rabbi Wasserman about it. I say, sure, it means that, and he said yes. But it only fell into place after I did all of the preface that we heard. Kamosha Bador Hahu, Ador Yotzei Mitzrayim, and like this door, this generation which came out of Egypt, Hatachlit Sheyetzei Lahem Hu Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shemayim. This generation accepted the yoke of heaven, Liotlo La'avadim, to become the servants of Hashem. Kamochein, Mitzvah Aseh Shel Sipur, V'zechirat Yitziat Mitzrayim Etzleinu Hu Gam Kena Al Yedei Zeh. And therefore, flowing out of this synergy, this two-way connection between Am Yisrael and Hashem, and the leaving of Egypt, it's a mitzvah aseh, it's a positive mitzvah to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim and to remember the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim. Kevan shenet ba'esh tachlita avodah hu sheya'aseh adam miyotzei Mitzrayim, and to remember that the purpose of worshiping Hashem is to remember that if he was not brought out of Egypt, she'ilu lo hotzi, that we say in the Haggadah, then we'd still be enslaved there in Egypt. She'ein ze geula la'avotav ela yitziat atzmit shelo. The geula was not just the geula of his fathers, but he himself was redeemed. So kiyum ha-mitzvah hu shiyatzah ha-tachlit shiyatzah b'yitzit Mitzrayim. I didn't want to read all of this to you, but I didn't mark it off good. V'hu ha-karat ha-tov shenakia tova le-ba'al ha-tova. A lot of this is repetitive. U'mizeh teitzei kabbalat malchut shemayim. U'v'emet mavhil ma'od godel avodat ha-adam b'zeh shechiyuvo hu la'asot miyotzei Mitzrayim. All right. U'lufi zeh. And because of all of this, Mitba'er haitev ma sher katuv afilu kolonu chachamim. So it says, oh, I found the wrong thing. That's not what I wanted. Where is it? What does it say in the Haggadah? Afilu kolonu chachamim. Say it loud and slow so my tape recorder will hear you. Okay, Alex Jolie found the place for me. V'afilu kulanu chachamim, and even if we were all wise, kulanu nevonim, and all discerning, kulanu zakinim, all old in wisdom, kulanu yodim et haTorah, we knew the entire Torah. Mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, it's still a mitzvah on us to tell the leaving of Egypt. B'chol hamarbel l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, and anybody who increases and embellishes the telling of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, Harei Zeh Meshubach, he is to be praised. V'al Yedei Zeh, listen to this, Sheha'avodah, the avoda of the Seder service that we do on Pesach, Eina kan al Yedei Chachma v'yediya. It's not an inyan of chachma, of wisdom and knowledge. Ella acheret legamre. It has something, it's totally different. You're not doing a Gemara Shir when you do a Seder. You're not there to unroll every Rashi and Tosafos and Ramban and nuance in the text. The avoda that a man is obligated to at the Seder table is midot. It's personal characteristics. Shelo liyot kafui tova, that at the Seder you should not be covering up good. Kafui tova. V'zeh tachlit mitzvot hayom. This is the purpose of the mitzvah shiatza mizeh kabbalat malchut shemayim, that when you came out of Egypt and you were mekabel the malchut shemayim, but at the Seder table it's an inyan of hakarat hatov. And I think it should change the entire flavor of the Seder for us if you understand that. Ulatachlit zeh hanes Hinam kol ma'asei ha'seda shemit amim hem ma'od la'hakarat ha'tov. He's just saying what I just had said to you, that the entire intent of the Seder is for the inyan of hakarat ha'tov. It's a gevalda chiddush. One last paragraph from Rav Lvovitz. V'zehu shemesayim ba'al ha'agadah, and therefore the author of the Haggadah completes the Haggadah. L'fichach anachnu chayavim. Is that what I just said? No, it's not what I read. Unprepared again. Therefore, it says in the Haggadah, L'fichach anachnu chayavim lahodot, lahalel, l'shabech, l'fa'el, l'romem, l'hadel, l'varech, l'alei, l'kaleis, l'misha asa la'avotenu v'lanu, et kol hanesim ho'elu. Hotzianu mi'avdut l'chayrut, mi'agon l'simcha, me'eva l'yom tov, me'afela l'or gadol, mi'shibud l'gula, v'nomal l'fanav shira chadasha. And I'll read it in English. Therefore, it is our duty to thank, to praise, to laud, to glorify, to exalt, to honor, to bless, to extol and give respect to him who performed all these miracles for our fathers and for us. He who has brought us forth from slavery to freedom, from sorrow to joy, from mourning to festivity, from darkness to bright light, and from bondage to redemption. And therefore let us recite a new song before him. A few more lines here. He mentions that we don't mention God's name here. It says, L'misha asanisim lavotenu, v'lano. Tofesh shelo nichtav bo shem ba'al hashtar. We don't mention the name of the person who has given us this shtar, this contract. V'hu mishim mishum de b'hakarat ha'tov, because of the concept of hakarat ha'tov, ein shim chakirat v'hu derishut l'mi. We don't do any sophisticated analyses as to finding out who did this good for us. Sheba tuchunat mikabel hatova, in the framework of receiving good, shemiyad hu makir tova, immediately you should recognize the good and who did the good for you. Lami, to who? Lami sha'asa lo hatova. You should do it to he who did the good for you. Mibli shum chakira, without any delving, mihu ba'al hatova, who is this ba'al hatova who did the good for you. Again, to remind you, the concept of hakarat ha'tov in the context of a parent, that should also lead you to a recognition of what Hashem has done for you. To end on a sublime theme suggested to me by Rabbi Yankelevich this week, it shows that Torah is still growing. The purpose of the entire creation is for the appreciation of Hashem and all He has created. As the in today's Haftarah, I came across this passage: "V'anochi, and as for me, ma'aseihem u'machshavotehem, their actions and their thoughts." And speaking about the nations of the world. Is to bring all of the nations and all of the different languages, uva'u, and they should come, v'ra'u et kvodi, they should come and see my glory. And then the Navi Yeshayahu speaks about Yemot HaMashiach, ki malah aretz deya et Hashem, because all of the world will be filled with knowledge of Hashem, kamayim liyayim, Kamayim liyam machasim, just as much as the waters cover the ocean. And Rabbi Yankelevich was at pains to stress that deya here doesn't mean intellectual recognition, but includes an emotional component having to do with hakarat Hashem, which I will have to leave for a future future analysis. We're going to recite Kaddish now. Yikrael v'yikrei shemei rabba. Yalmad yivrachim utev yamnich machutei b'chai yechon uv'yamechon uv'chai duchol b'yit Yisrael. Agala v'zman kariv imru amein. Yishmei rabba 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 rab Yeshmei Rabba Mavarach Liyalem Alon Melamaya Yitbarach Vishtabach Vipair Vitmei Mitnasei Vietadav Yitalev Yitalah Shemaita Good Shabbarachu Elam in Kobachata Vishabata Tushbachata Venachamata Tami Ran Bialma Vimu Amen Al Yisrael Vial Rabbanan Vial Tamudeon Vial Kol Tamudei Tamudeon Vial Kolmanda Askin Viaraita Di Baatra Hadan Vidi Bechola Tavata יהי אלוהינו לכאן שלמה רבה, חינם וחסדו ורחמים וחיים ערכין, ומוזוני מרוויחי, ברכה נמין קדם עובדה ושמיה, ואמרו אמן. יהי שלמה רבה מן שמיה וחיים טובים עלינו ויהי כל ישראל, ואמרו אמן. עושה שלום במרמה, והוא יעשה שלום עלינו ויהי כל ישראל, ואמרו אמן. I just want to make one addendum to the tape, to my introduction and my discussion of the incident at Shai Yashuv, and its mention in the Haftorah of last week, the Haftorah of Yitro. So the Malbim says on that section in the Haftorah, Shai Yashuv Banecha, Yishayahu Kara Shem Bano Shai Yashuv. Yeshayahu called his son by the name Shai Yashuv, Lehtorut Sheshai Yisrael Yashuvu El Hashem, to stir up, to awaken Israel, that the remainder of Israel should return to Hashem. Please take a note and look at the Malbim there, and also take a look at Rashi in the same section. Thank you.
This is Chol HaMoed Pesach, and we just observed yesterday on Shabbos the second Yahrzeit of my father, Alav HaShalom, Avi Mori, Meir Ben Yitzchak Dov, and I made a few remarks which are in effect an extension of my first on my drush earlier this year on the occasion of my father-in-law, Harav Yaakov Ben Yosef Chaim, or Yaakov Ben Chaim Yosef. So I'd like to record those ideas to supplement my earlier remarks. There are many themes in the Haggadah, but one of them is really enunciated by the Russia, the so-called wicked son, who makes the remarks Ma avda hazot lachem, and what does this service mean to you? And on a first glance, it's very hard to see why the Haggadah deals so harshly with the wicked son. Because the Chacham, the wise son, had just made the remark, Maha Edut Etchem, if you look at it. He said, what are these testimonies, Ha Edut, Ha Chukim, Ha Mishpatim, the testimonies and the decrees and the laws which God, our God, has commanded us, what are they to you? The Rashi said, what is this service to you? One used the word etchem, the other used the word lachem. I'm not sure I see a great difference. Obviously, though, the Chacham said, Asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu, which our God has commanded us, and already, therefore, he is identifying with the God of Israel. He's saying it's his God, and he's clearly within the realm of halacha. And furthermore, he is already acknowledging that halacha has a certain structure. There are edut and chukim and mishpatim. There are testimonies, there are decrees, and there are laws. And each is a category unto itself and has to be understood separate, as a separate category from the others. And therefore, halacha has a certain structure, a certain logic to it, which has to be delved into and understood. And so that's why the answer of the Haggadah is v'af af ata emolo kilchot ha-Pesach, and so you answer him according to the laws of Pesach, because you don't have to get into any involved cosmological investigations or philosophical investigations into the foundations of Yiddishkeit, because he accepts the premises from the beginning. But the wicked son, the Haggadah tells us, that he took himself out of the klal. He doesn't see himself as part of klal Yisrael. So then, because of that, he's kafab ikar. It means that he denies the basic fundamentals of Judaism. Even this statement, this response of the Haggadah to the Rasha, is a little hard to understand at first glance, because the Rasha didn't go out and murder anybody, he didn't steal, he wasn't violent, he just went off on his own. Maybe he'd be, instead of observing the laws of Shabbat, let's say he takes his family out on a Saturday and Sunday, they go to play tennis, have a family outing. I know there are many families who do this, they're not necessarily Jewish, but there are people who spend their Sundays doing some activity as a family. I've seen it on the tennis courts, where the children are literally brought up on the tennis courts, and I think it's really a wonderful thing for people who have the time and can do it. And the family is together, and the children are learning to do an activity at least a semi-professional level, if not on a professional level, where they're not only doing a sport, but they're doing it with a fair amount of expertise and in a family setting. So what's wrong if somebody goes off and does their thing, whatever it is, whatever hobby it may be, and so they're not part of the Jewish people? And I think really that's really the question in order to understand why the Haggadah treats the Rasha, the wicked son, so severely. So the answer that the Haggadah gives, you should either break his teeth or blunt his sharpness, however you want to translate it. Ve'emalo, and you should say to him, Ba'avor ze asa Hashem li b'tzeitim mitzrayim, because of this, of what Hashem did for me in taking me out of Egypt. Or I should translate it, because of this Hashem took me out of Egypt. And I won't go into what Zeh is at this point or what this is. But the answer that the Haggadah gives to the wicked son at this juncture is really a one-line excerpt from a more extended answer later on in the Haggadah. Because later on we have the words, B'chol Dovador, in every generation, Chayav Adam Lerot Et Atzmo, a man is obligated to see himself, Ki'ilu Hu Yatzam Im Mitzrayim, as if he himself came out of Egypt. Shenema, as it says, V'higata Tal Avincha Be'yom Ahu, and you should tell your son on that day, Le'mor, telling him, Ba'avor Zeh Asa Hashem Li B'tzeitim Im Mitzrayim, because of this Hashem took me out of Mitzrayim, Lo et avotenu bilvad ga'al HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem didn't redeem just our fathers, ela afotanu ga'al imahem, but we too, together with them, were redeemed. Shene'ema, as it says, v'yotanu hotzi misham, it is us who he took out of there, l'mahna avi otanu letet lanu et ha'aretz asher nishba la'avotenu, in order to bring us into the land which he has sworn to our fathers. And elsewhere in the Haggadah, it does say that if we were not redeemed, if our fathers had not been redeemed from Egypt, then we, to this day, would still have been slaves in the land of Egypt. V'ilu lo hotzi ha-kodesh baruch hu et avotenu mi-mitzrayim, harei anu v'aneinu v'nei v'aneinu mishubadim hayinu l'faro b'mitzrayim. We still would have been slaves to Paro in Egypt had our fathers not been redeemed. So I think through the very words of the Haggadah, we can begin to understand that the real problem with the Russia was not simply that he was Poresh Minha Tzibor, that he separated himself from the group, which is Klal Yisrael, because on a first level basis, a prima facie look at it, you'd say, what's so terrible? He wants to go out on his own and do his own thing. But we know from the Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva, in Perek Gimel, that he says that among those people who ain lahem chelak li'olam haba, who don't have a share in the world to come, among those is haporesh min hatzibur, those who dissociate themselves from the tzibur. So now, we are not talking about people who are ignorant or who are in the category of hatinok shenishba b'goyim, children who are kidnapped by the goyim and therefore they grow up in ignorance of Judaism and therefore they cannot be held responsible for their actions or for their indifference or hostility to Yiddishkeit. And I think that's true of the majority of Americans today, that they are in the category of Tino Kanishba Bagoyim, as children who are kidnapped by a non-Jew. And therefore we are not talking about them. But somebody who has some knowledge of halacha, some knowledge of Torah, and then willingly separates and from the klal, this is the person that the Haggadah is dealing with so severely and saying that you have to hakei et shinav, you have to just break his teeth and then give him the appropriate answer. But in retrospect, what the Haggadah is telling us is it's not just the act of poresh min hatzibur that is so despicable in the eyes of Torah, but rather it is the act of kifui tova, covering up good, which is the ultimate problem here. Because what we're saying is, had your fathers not been redeemed from the land of Egypt, then you would, at this point in time, still have been a slave in the land of Egypt. And therefore you are covering up good, you are not recognizing the good that Hashem has done to you, in as much as your fathers had been redeemed from the land of Israel. And the very act of breaking off from feeling a part of the Jewish people results in this act of kifui tova, of covering up of good. And with that explanation, we can then understand how the Haggadah continues continues to say lefichach, and therefore anachnu chayavim lahodot lahalel lashaber lefa'er, we are required to praise and to glorify ulerameim and to lift up lahadel lavarech laaleil kales lemisha asa ala avotenu v'lanu et kol hanisim ha'elu. We are required to glorify He who has done all of these miracles to our fathers and to us, that He took us out of slavery, hotzianu mi avdut lechevut, into freedom, mi yagon lesimcha, from agony and suffering into rejoicing, me'evel liyom tov, from a state of mourning to a state of being in a yom tov, in a holiday atmosphere, ume afela laor, may from darkness to light, laor gadol, mishibud laugula, from slavery to redemption, v'namala fanav shira chadasha, and therefore we should say before him a new song. It is with this understanding of the sin or the transgression of the wicked son, if you will, and the severity with which the Haggadah treats him, that then we can begin to understand another mitzvah related to the to the Seder. And it's, according to the Rambam, it's a mitzvah deraisa. It's in his Sefer HaMitzvot, it's mitzvah number 147, Kufnun Zion, Hatzivu Shinatzdavinu L'Saper B'Tziyat Mitzrayim B'Leil Tesevav B'Nisan, that we are required to tell the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, if you will, on the night of the 15th of Nisan, B'Tchilat HaLaila, at the beginning of the night, Kafitzachot L'Shon HaMasapea, according to the ability or the clarity of the one who is speaking. And then the Rambam goes on to add, and l'ula hodot lo, and to praise Hashem, yitale al kol ha-chesed asher gamalanu, because l'ula hodot lo yitale al kol ha-chesed asher gamalanu, because of all the kindness which he has bestowed upon us. So we now see clearly that the requirement of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim goes hand in hand with the concept of Hakarat HaTov, which is the very thing on which the wicked son, if you will, trips up on. Because we are required to tell the story of the leaving of Egypt in order to praise Hashem and to be Hakarat HaTov, to have recognition to Hashem for the good that he has done to us, the Jewish people. And this act of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim is different in kind from another mitzvah which we have, which is Zechel Yitziat Mitzrayim. Because every Friday night, every Shabbos, we are required to remember the leaving of Egypt, that Zechel Yitziat Mitzrayim, and indeed there are those who say that it's a mitzvah every day to remember the leaving of Egypt. There are actually Sheis Zechirot, which are mentioned at the end of the Siddur, six different items which we are required to remember every day of the year, and among these is Yitziat Mitzrayim, Zechel Yitziat Mitzrayim, the remembering the leaving of Egypt. But it's just stam, it's just remembering. There are no other concomitants around this act, just that we have to mention in words with our mouths the concept that we did leave Egypt and have a recognition of this. But Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim, the telling of the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, is of a different order and a different kind altogether. Because the Rambam goes on in explaining this mitzvah in mitzvah 147, that you might have thought I could perform the act of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim at any time, maybe from the beginning of Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And then following the Gemara, he says, no, because it says Bayom Ahu, I have to do it on that day. Well, maybe it could have been that day, meaningly Erev Pesach, but it doesn't have to be on Erev Pesach itself. It could have been during the day before Pesach began. So he goes on to stress, no, it's on that day, b'sha'ah, at the time, sheyesh matzah u'morah munachim lefanecha, at the time that matzah and morah are before you, and obviously that is the time of the Seder, and not beforehand. So there's a special time at which the mitzvah of Sipur Yitziat Mitzrayim must be performed, and you can't do it early and you can't do it later. It must be done right at that time when you have matzah and morah before you at the Seder table. And this explains also an earlier passage that we have in the Haggadah where it says, V'afilu kulanu chachamim, kulanu nevonim, kulanu zakenim. Even if we were all wise and all full of wisdom and understanding, kulanu yodim et haTorah, we knew every aspect of the Torah, mitzvah aleinu l'saper b'yitzat mitzrayim, it's still a mitzvah to perform the telling, to engage in the telling of Yitziat Mitzrayim, b'chol hamabal l'saper b'yitziat Mitzrayim, harei zeh meshubach, anybody who extends and embellishes the telling of the leaving of Egypt, the entire story and all of the details, this person is to be praised. And the reason for this is because the author of the Haggadah is asking us to do a dramatic rendition of the leaving of Egypt, so that the greatness of the event will become vivid in the minds of all the participants at the Seder table. And the reason for the dramatic presentation which is required has nothing to do with being a brilliant Talmud Chacham or for knowing the Torah backwards and forwards, but rather to make the event of the leaving of Egypt almost a present reality, so that we ourselves will feel as if we had benefited directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and were redeemed along with our forefathers. With such a vivid presentation, we will be able to better perform the act of Hakarat HaTov, recognizing Hashem's good, which He has done both to our forefathers and to us in redeeming us from Egypt. And with this, you can better understand the insertion of the Hallel in the Haggadah, because really, it's an anomaly. It doesn't make sense, and it doesn't follow any of the usual restrictions we have about the saying of Hallel. Because normally, Hallel is said during the day, and it's said with a bracha, and it's said standing, and it's said without any interruptions. And women are exempt from saying Hallel, because it's a mitzvah shehazman grama. It's a time-bound mitzvah. And yet here at the Seder table, we say it at night, we say it without a bracha, we say it sitting at the table, and we interrupt with a festive meal. And apparently women are also obligated to say the Hallel at the Seder table. And we know this because women are obligated in the four cups. And if they're obligated to drink four cups, and each cup is meant to be attached to one of the four sections of the Seder, the four sections being Kiddush, and then Magid, and then we bench afterwards. There's a Kos Shel Bracha on the benching after the festive meal, and finally we have a fourth cup, which is for the conclusion of the Hallel. So we know then that if women are obligated for Arba Kosos, for four cups, they are also obligated in completing the Hallel at the Seder table. So it seems a bit of an anomaly until we realize that according to the Sadia Gaon, there are two types of Hallel. We can say Hallel b'torat kriya, a Hallel in the category of kriya, and then there's a Hallel b'torat shira, a Hallel in the category of song, if you will. And apparently the Hallel b'torat kriya, the reading of Hallel, that is what we say in shul, in the morning, in the daytime, with a bracha, standing, and without any interruptions. And that makes a lot of sense. But Torah Shira, we have Shira at the time of a miracle, B'Sha'at HaNes, when a miracle happens to somebody, he is required to respond with Hallel. And that Hallel is a spontaneous response to being saved by Hashem in a miraculous way, and it does not require a bracha, and it does not have to be said during the day, and apparently it doesn't even have to be said standing, and you can have interruptions if they are relevant interruptions, in this case a festive meal would be a relevant interruption. And therefore we begin to see how Hallel becomes an integral part of the process of the Seder in which we are performing the mitzvah of Hakarat HaTov, of recognizing Hashem's goodness in redeeming us from slavery, the slavery in Egypt. Just one other point in this regard is that the Seuda, the meal that which we eat at the Seder table, is a Seuda Hoda'a. It's a Thanksgiving meal. And being in that category, then it's certainly appropriate that it be surrounded by Hallel both before and afterwards, and that the two go hand in hand. And therefore we can begin to understand why Hallel is interrupted, because it's not really an interruption. The Seuda is an integral part of the festive atmosphere and the expression of gratitude to Hashem for taking us out of the land of Egypt.